Begin the current daf, Maseches Bava Metzia, daf Yud Zayin. Begin on the bottom of daf Tazayin Amud Beis, second line up from the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara continues in mid-conversation from a statement of Rava. That is, the Gemara had quoted a halacha from Rav Avoh in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, that if somebody finds, some random person finds a document of debt in the marketplace, even if it was certified by the court, which obviously we know that that means that the loan, the debt happened, however, you do not return it to the lender. The reason for that is because we're concerned that maybe it was paid up, maybe it fell from the borrower. And that Rabbi Yirmi had asked Rabbi Avoh, but the Mishnah of Chav says that Kamaisa Bezdin, which includes this case of a certified document, Harizayach, you return it to the lender. Obviously, we see you're not concerned that it was paid. So that on that, Rabbi Avoh answered to Rabbi Yirmi, you can't compare, because there it's talking about where he was Hulkzik Kafrin. There, the borrower was already established as a liar, as someone that claims to have paid up but really didn't, and therefore here we don't believe him. But in general, we would be concerned that it was paid up. Which Rava said, what do you mean? Because he lied one time, so that's it. From now on, we don't assume that maybe it fell from him. You said we are concerned that maybe there was a payment. So maybe it did fall from the borrower. Why would we return it to the lender? Rather, Rava says, the reason why that mission is not difficult is because Toma Shtar Chal Ta'asa and Adar Chasa, like Rav Zeir, like we explained in the previous stuff, because there's no component of payment to say that there would be concern of payment not to return it to the lender, to the collector, and that's why we return it to the collector. But that's where Rava continues, and he says, so yes, that mission is not because of Huxley Kafrin, but says Rava, of a Kafrin, this concept about someone that is a liar, a denier, Hailva Asliyadin, once it came to our hands, meaning because someone had thought that that was the approach for the Mishnah, which Rabbi said that's not, but once it came up on the table, Nimba Bamilsa, let's say a halacha regarding this topic. Dam Rav Yezer Bamanyumi Omer Rav Nachman. Rav Yezer Bamanyumi said Nim Rav Nachman, Amrulai, if the court said to the debtor, say Tenloi, go out and give him. In other words, the court had already paskin, they decided that, and they commanded this guy to go out and pay up to this guy, to his creditor. Now, as we continue on top of Yedzayin Menal, Va'amar, in the later point in time, he says, Parati, yes, the court verdict said that I should pay, and I paid. Says Rav Nachman Neman, so he's believed, but as Rashi points out, obviously he would have to make a Shavuos Hasis, which is a rabbinic oath that he paid totally, but he would be believed to say that he paid. So too, Bo Malva, if let's say the lender comes in front of us, Lichter said we should write for him one of these Shtar Derchasas, which is that he could go ahead and collect from this guy's properties, Ein Kaisim and Eisenlai. We do not write and give him such a document, again, because we are concerned that maybe this guy paid, because the court tells you, go out and do it. People usually do that. And therefore, if he says, we believe him, and we also have to suspect that he did, and if we don't write for the Malva, a Shtar Derchasas. Now, but let's say the court told him, Chayev Atalim. They didn't say, go out and give it to him. They said, you know, you're obligated to go out and give him. V'alma Parat, and he says, at a later point in time, that I paid it up. There, Einu Neman. He's not believed to swear and exempt himself. Rather, what's called Shekenegdo Nishba Benoitel, his creditor swears that it wasn't paid up and he collects. And the reason being is because since this is the type of person that we had to start a court process against him for this guy to claim from him in court. So he's not so quick to pay up until there's a total psak bezdin, when the verdict is totally finished, when they say, go out and pay. When they just say, you know, you're chayev, but they didn't yet sign the papers and dot the I's and cross the T's, then he's not gonna go out and pay, and therefore he's not believed. So therefore, so too, if Bama Valichtav, let's say the lender comes to say, to write for Mishtar Dachasa, so Kaisav Naisenlai, we go ahead and we write and we give it for him because they only told him Chayev Atalitinlai. If they said Say Atalitinlai, then he's going to go ahead and do it. So that's the difference between Say and Chayev. That's Rav Yisrael Ben Menyumi's version of Rav Nachman. Says the Gemara, but Rav Zvid Mishmed Rav Nachman Amar. Rav Zvid has a different version in the name of Rav Nachman. He says, no, Bein Say Tainlai, whether they told him, go out and give it to him, or bein chayvat litnai, whether they only told him, you know, you're obligated to go out and give it to him. V'ama parat, and he says, I paid it. Neman, he is believed. And therefore, so too, if b'mava lichtav, if the lender comes to write from Ashtar d'chasa, in case of an Islam, we don't write and we give it to him. Because he holds that, no, if the court tells you something, you go out and you do it, even if they didn't, like, paskin, the gavel didn't come banging down, they just said, you're chayv, even there, the guy's believed to say that he paid up. Now, but says, this version of Rav Nachman, but if you do want to differentiate and say a time when he would not be believed to say that he paid it up, it's this type of situation where you could divide. Because Amru lo yitzei ten lo, if they told him, go out and give him, you are chayiv to give this guy money. V'ama parati, and at a later point in time he said that I paid up based on the verdict of the court. V'edim me'idin oisei shaloi paru. Now, witnesses testify that he did not pay. In other words, they say, they didn't follow this guy around every second, but they said, in front of us, this claimant claimed from this defendant that to pay him up because of the court's verdict, and he didn't. He defiantly said, no, I'm not paying. Now, since in front of us, the witnesses say, he had the audacity to say he's going to violate the verdict of the court, so now he's no more believed to say that he did pay, not in front of witnesses. So therefore, he is established as a denier regarding this money, which we don't believe him anymore to say that he went and he paid up until he pays up in front of witnesses. That's what Rabbi said once we spoke about Kafrin. That's a halacha that we see from this second version of Nachman, that if someone has already established a pattern of lying regarding certain monies, now even with a legitimate claim that usually would be valid, he's not believed because he's already shown himself to be someone that lies regarding this money. Another halacha, chayiv atalin lo. Let's say they said that you're obligated to give this guy money. V'ama parati, and he says, I paid it at a later point in time. Now, ve'edim me'idin oisei shaloi par. And witnesses testify that, no, in front of us, the same thing happened, and he vehemently said, I'm not going to do it, and he didn't pay. Now, there are those gisaris who put, just like in the previous Gemara's discussion, put v'chazav v'ama parati in parentheses, and then he went back and he said, I paid it. Either way, here in this situation, he's not established like a liar regarding that money, and he could swear that he paid it. Now, even though he didn't pay right away when this guy had claimed money from him in front of the witnesses, that's not considered, like we said in the previous case, of having audacity in just violating the court edict. My time, what's the reason? Why is it different when they say chayvat litin loy and the witnesses say that he went and claimed from him and he said, no, I'm not giving, versus the case of tzei litin loy? So the reason is because since the court did not yet send down a final definitive verdict, although they said that you're obligated, they didn't say tzei ten loy, ishtamute hokom ishtam b'nei. So he's just being avoidant. Savar, he thinks to himself, ad ma'ayni bi rabbana b'dini, I'm going to wait till the rabbis really check into the court case. Maybe it's not totally finished. Maybe they'll overturn that verdict. So although that they had said chayvat litin loy, and in front of witnesses, this guy said, okay, the court said you have to give me. He says, no, I'm not giving. That's not because he established a pattern of being someone that's not keeping the court order, and therefore when he says that he paid to say that we don't believe him, because here he's just being avoidant. And it makes sense why he would do it. It's a rationalization in contrast to the previous case where obviously that this guy is someone that doesn't care, already established a pattern regarding this money, that he's not faithful, he's not believed, and therefore even if he says he paid, in the case of Tzei Litin Loi, and then he would not be believed, in contrast to Chayvat Litin Loi. Mark continues, related discussion, Amar Rabba Bebechana Amar B'yechanan, Mani Li B'yadcha. Somebody tells somebody else, there's a certain 100 zuz, there's money that I have by you, meaning that you owe me. Another guy says, I have nothing here. So what you're talking about, I don't owe you anything. Now the witnesses verified, they testified that he does have his money. Now, then later he comes with a different claim. He says, of course he was contradicted by witnesses. He says, you know what, I actually paid it up. Says the Gemara, the same concept, has already been established as a lawyer regarding that money. Although yes, maybe the claim of I paid would be believed, but now you're ready, showed your true colors by lying once before regarding this money, by saying that it never happened, and witnesses contradicted that. Not to say that you paid, he's not believed. As the Gemara says, Kihad de Shabsai bered Rab Mirenas. Like it was the incident with Shabsai, the son of Rab Mirenas, Kasav lo lekalse, he wrote for his daughter-in-law, Itztila, a cloak de milsa of fine wool, biksubasa in her ksuba, meaning if she's widowed or divorced from his son, she's going to get that in her ksuba. And he accepted the responsibility on himself. Now, Irkis Ksubasa, she actually lost her Ksuba. So, Amalahu, he said to them, these words never happened. This that she's claiming that she has in her Ksuba, a garment of fine wool, never happened. I never wrote such a thing for the Ksuba. Now, Asa Sahadi Ba'amri, but then witnesses came and they said, in Kasavla, yes, he did write for her. We saw that Ksuba. We know he did write that. So, it's obviously not believed to say that Lahadam, that it never happened, which stands for Lo Hayid Dvar Me'ilam. Now, L'Seif Amalu Parati, at the end, he said, you're right, it did happen, there were witnesses, but I paid it up. On that, the Gemara says, also came to Rabbi Chiya, they came in front of Rabbi Chiya, Amalei, he said to them, Hochzuk's Kafrin Lo Eise Itzli, he has already been established as a liar, as a denier regarding this cloak, until he pays it up with witnesses. Until then, he's not going to be believed to say that he paid it up. Amr b'Avin, Amr b'Loyer, Amr b'Yechan. Another halacha of Amr b'Yechan. Ha'yechayv l'chaveir shvua. Continue on the same theme. Someone that was obligated to take an oath for his friend. Let's say regarding that he denied certain things and he has to make an oath regarding that. V'aman nishbati. And he says, he claims that he swore to the guy. V'aydim i'idin oisi shalei nishba. And the witnesses testify that he did not swear, meaning that he was rejecting the court requirement of giving an oath. So he's already been established as a denier regarding this oath to say that he swore until he actually swears in front of us, in front of the court, because we don't trust him anymore, just like regarding the money, regarding the oath. Now, Amru Kamid Rebavo, they said this halacha of Reb Avin in front of Rebavo. Amalahu, he said to them, to the students, Mistabra Milsud Reb Avin, it's logical to say that to qualify this halacha of Reb Avin is only Shunishchayv Shvur Bebezin. If he was obligated, he became liable for the oath in court. Meaning that since that in the situation where it was a court-mandated oath, and then this guy claimed the oath from the defendant in front of witnesses to fulfill the court requirement, and he refused, so then he's not believed anymore to say that, oh, at a later point in time I swore, because we already said he was already hochzer kafrin to deny, to have some questionability about faithfulness regarding fulfilling the court requirements of the oath. Avol, but says Rebavo, Chiv Atzmi Shvua, if we'd be talking about a case where he made himself obligated in an oath, where he just told him, he says, you know, nothing to do with the court. He said, whatever, and he said, you know what, I'll swear to you. And then he claims in front of witnesses to go ahead, you told me you're going to swear in front of the witnesses, and he refuses. He says, no, I'm not going to do it. And then at a later point in time, he says that I did swear. Then says Rebavo, then Neman, then he would be believed. Even though that at a previous time in front of witnesses he rejected, say, no, I'm not going to swear. The reason being is because Avir Inish de Makriva Amar, because it is normal for a person to go ahead and say that, I'm not going to do what the court didn't require, only I'm going to do it on my own terms. In other words, that's not considered regret or pushing away or denial. It's just a delay tactic, the same type of a concept that we said, because if the court require, yes, if you're refusing to follow through, that shows some type of questionability. But when the person himself made his own requirement, says, no, I'm refusing, that's only because he wants to do it on his own terms. It doesn't show that he's not believed regarding it. And if at a later point in time he says that he did swear, he would be believed. Ahadru kamed rebovin. So this qualification, rebovo, in rebovin salacha, that he said that it only applies in the shvua of that was required by Bezin, they went and they took this back to Reb Avin. So Amaluhu, he said to them, to the students, he says, yes, anonami bebeznami. I also said this halacha from Rabbi Yechanan, only if it was a court-mandated oath. Then, if one time in front of witnesses he refused to go ahead with it, then he's not believed later to say that he swore. But if it's a guy's own oath, then he would be believed at a later point in time. It menami sotu, we learned that Amr above and Amr below Amr Yechanan, hayichayv l'chaveir shvua bebezdin. Specifically, like we just said, if he was liable to his friend an oath in court, and at a later point in time he says that he swore, and the witnesses come along and say that's not true in front of us, he had refused to swear, then he's established already as a liar regarding that oath, and he's not believed to say that he swore, he would have to swear in front of us. Nothing more continues regarding the topic of our Mishnah, regarding finding documents about who we return it to. So Amar Basi Amar Biyechanan, not Allah of Amar Biyechanan. Hamoitzi Shtar Chayv B'Shuk. If someone finds a document of debt in the marketplace, and it also has a certification of the court that this is a valid document. And moreover, the date is written from that day, meaning it was found on the street the day that it was written. Says Rabbi Yechanan Yachzir Labailan. So in such a situation, you return it to the owner, to the lender. Now, the reason being is because imishum kasav lulvas v'leilava, if it would because the concern of maybe it was written that day to loan, but the loan never happened, that's not a concern because hakasav behempik, because it has a certification seal from the court, which they only certify and verify a document if they actually verified and saw that the loan happened. And imishum parayin, if you're concerned for that maybe it was already paid up, maybe the loan did happen, but maybe he paid it up, And that says, Rabbi Yechon, l'priya basiyam l'chashina. We're not concerned for a payment of that same day. If that same day the loan was written, we have no reason to be suspect that maybe he paid him up already because he just took the loan, and that's why we return it to the lender. Now, however, Amli Reb Zeira Rabasi. Reb Zeira asked on Rabasi on this halacha of Rabbi Yechon, who he had said this over in the name of Rabbi Yechon, and says, Umiyom Rabbi Yechon, did Rabbi Yechon really say this halacha you just said? But it was you that said a different halacha named Rabbi Yechonon that seemingly contradicts this halacha. You said that shtar shalava by upray, regarding a document that a person borrowed with, and then he paid up that loan. So you said the name Rabbi Yechonon that ain't a chayz of lava by. You can't go back and then borrow again with that same document that was already written for a previous loan. Now he wants to borrow the money again, that same amount. Can't use that same document. Why? Because that original lien that is incurred when there's a loan that's written in the document was already forgiven, meaning was already voided from the moment that he paid up the first loan. Now, the document was not written for the second loan, so essentially that second loan really is going to be what's called a milva peh, really an oral loan. And then when the lender goes to collect from the chasim mishabadim, from lekuchis, because let's say the leiva defaults on the loan, they can't pay it up, that's going to be inappropriately, because an oral loan cannot be collected from lekuchis. And he's going to be producing the document, but it's not really the document of the second loan, it's really from the first loan. That was the halacha you said over the name Rabbi Yechonon. Now, on that asks the Reb Zeira to Rabasi, Imas, when was this that it was paid up, and then he went back and went to borrow money from that same lender with that same document? If you were entertained to say that it was the next day and the day after that, in other words, that he went to borrow again that same amount of money to use the same document, not on the day that was originally written, then, however, my ear, then why would Rabbi Yechon have to say that the reason why you can't use that same document is because the problem about Lekucha is because the original lien had already been forgiven, but typically, but you should say that even if the loan would be written for that document was written for that last loan, still it would be a problem even. Meaning, forget about the fact of Shekavar Nimchal Shibudai, even if it wasn't. Because if you're writing a previous date's day, Tehavalei Muktim, it should be problematic because it's a predated document. In other words, if on the first of the month he made one loan, then he paid him up on the fourth of the month, and then he wants to borrow from him again, let's say on the 10th of the month, if it's not the same day, then you run into a different problem. Don't say because Shekvanim Chashi Buddha, you say because it's a Shtar Muktim, because you're taking a loan on the 10th with a date that says on the 1st. And Utsnan will learn the Mishnah Masech the Shviyas that says Shtari Chayiv HaMukdamim Psulin, a predated document is invalid. And part of that is because he's going to be collecting from those Lekuches, from the Leiva, from the earlier date, when really there was no loan at that point, only happened 9 days later. But one thing says, Reb Zeira, you can't say that halacha of Rabbi Yechonon was talking about that he's taking the second loan on the first document at a later day, because then there wouldn't be a problem of Nimcha Shibudei, it would be a basic problem of Shtar Muktim. Elalav, rather, says Reb Zeira, must be that halacha that you had said over the name of Rabbi Yechonon was B'yoymi, on the same day. Meaning that even a guy who borrowed money, a few hours later paid it up, then he realized he wants to take out a second loan, and that says Rabbi Yechonon that you still cannot, even though it's not Shtar Muktim, it's that same date, but because it's a second loan, and that second loan doesn't have a document for it, which, and you're going to use the document, which is unlawful, because really, it was only written for that first loan. But one thing says, Reb Zeira, Alma Pari in Shibiyayim, you see that people do pay up a loan that same day, because you yourself said over in this halacha of Rabbi Yechonon that it would be a problem of Nimcha Shibudei, but that's only, as we're pointing out, only B'yayme. So you see, people do pay up that same day. So why are you saying over this halacha and Nimcha Shibudei that if you find with that same day that you give it to the lender, but maybe he paid it up already, as we see people pay up and even take out a new loan on that same day? So Amalei, Sir Basi answered him. He says, Mika mina de lepari klal? Did I say that people never pay up on that same day? Deloi shchichi inchi de pari b'yayme kamina. All I said was, it's not common for people to pay up a debt that same day that they took the loan, and therefore we don't have to be suspect for something that's not common. But of course, if it happens, that was the other halacha said over the name of Rabbi Yechonon, that then you cannot go ahead and take out a new loan with that same document. But that doesn't contradict what I said, that of course if you find a document from that same day, especially if it's certified, so there's no concern of maybe the loan didn't happen, there's no concern that it's going to be paid up that day, although yes, it is feasible, and that's why you're going to return it to the lender. That's one resolution. Rav Kahana, he says that a different interpretation. He says, this is Rabbi Yochanan said, that when you find it with the date of that same day that you return it to the owner, is tokma kishachayiv maida, when the borrower agrees that he didn't pay it up. So that's why it doesn't contradict. Yes, maybe that there is no concern, that maybe there is, maybe we would suspect that it was paid up that same day as we see from the other halacha of Rabbi Yochanan. The reason why this halacha of Rabbi Yochanan says that you return it to the owner is because the borrower admits that he didn't pay it up yet. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, then the Mala Memra, then what was the chiddush, what was the necessity of saying this halacha? Of course, we know the loan happened, and he's admitting that he didn't pay it up. So, and moreover, there's no loss for Shibudim, for the collectors, because anyways, it's that same day. So the Gemara says, no, Ma'ad Tema, what would you have thought to say? Hi, Mifra Pari. Maybe actually he did pay it up. Because as Rav Kanda's answer is saying, that to resolve with the other halacha of Abiyach, and then people do pay up on that same day. Maybe he really did pay it up. But this that he's admitting, quote unquote, that he didn't pay it up is mishum de kabayi mahadul lemisva bezim nachuitis, because he actually wants to use it to borrow it from him another loan based on that same document. Now, why would he do that? Because ulipshiti de safrichayis, she's concerned about those few coins that he has to pay for the scribe for a new document. What a shod, what a waste. Yiddish geld says, I'm just going to say I didn't pay it up yet. Because if I did, I would have to write a whole new document. I didn't pay it up. And I'll borrow from him again, and we already have a document already here. Kamash Malan, that is the chiddush of this halacha of Rabbi Yochanan, that you are going to return it to the lender, and you're not going to be concerned for this concern that we just described, that maybe really was not from the lender, it was paid up, and it's just that he wants to be able to save money for the scribe. Why? Why do we say that? Maybe it actually we should be concerned for this ploy. Is no, because the imkain, because if it would be like this concern that the borrower wants to save the money from paying those few coins for the scribe, malvaguvi leshavek. But the lender wouldn't let. Yes, the borrower of course would want that, but the lender would not go along with that ruse, because Savar, he thinks to himself, shami be rabbanon, the rabbis are going to hear that what really happened was unlawful, because really, although it was all on the same day, but really it was a second loan. And they're going to hear about that really the shibud was already forgiven, it was already voided when they paid me up the first time. Umaf sedili, and they're going to cause a loss to me because I'm not going to be able to then collect from the lekuches, because on some level this is like a shtar chayv hamukdam, it's a predated document. In other words, because since we're explaining that you don't have that the witnesses on the document will be mezaket to the lender, the reason being is because the second loan was not on the document, it was only the first one, so that's also going to be considered in the same halacha of shtar muktim, and he's not going to be able to collect from the lekuches, and therefore the malva is not going to go along with it. And that's why we don't have that concern. So if he's admitting, the borrower is admitting that he didn't pay it up yet, that's why we give it to the malva. Now, however, on this, the Gemara asks, Maishna mahadit not. But why is this any different than this that we learned in the Mishnah of Yud Beis and Mabeis? The Mishnah said, Matzeh Shtari Chayv. Somebody finds in the street a document of a debt. So the Mishnah said, if that debt had that it could be collected from Nechasim Shabadim, from incumbent properties, then lo yachz. Then you don't return it to the lender. Now, says the Gemara of Vokimna, and we had explained this Mishnah, that's Toma Keshechayiv Maida, that when the borrower admits that he didn't pay it up. So then if he admits, and the lender is saying it fell from him, so why don't you return to the lender? Because umishum shem because of lulvis benisin b'li lova at tishri. So we said over there, the reason for that is because maybe it was written to be borrowed in Nisan. Maybe the loan didn't happen until 6 months later in Tishri. Now the problem is, v'asa l'mitzv l'kuchis menisin b'at tishri shlekedin, and then he's going to come to collect from Nisan till Tishri, which is that 6 months period that the loan didn't actually even happen yet. But it's going to write as if the loan happened, and anyone that bought from the borrower in those 6 months are going to be collected from the malva. And again, we're concerned over there because there's a red flag, because since it fell, so it's giving us reason to believe that this is a suspicious get, a suspicious document, which again makes us to believe that maybe it wasn't really written at that point in time, and therefore, even though the borrower is admitting, but we don't give it because maybe they're going to collect unlawfully from one of the lekuches. Now, but one thing says the Gemara, v'loyim rinan, we don't say over there in that halacha, that no, we're not concerned for that. Why? Because if you would claim that it was such a premise, the imkain, but if that's the case, malva gufer leishavik. No, the lender himself would not let. Because the amale, he would say, kasar shtar achrina betishrei. write another document for me in Tishrei. Why? Same thing we said over here. The Dilma Shami Rabbanu Umav Sadili. Maybe the rabbis are going to hear. They're going to find out that although this document is a kosher document, but it really, the loan didn't happen in Tishrei. It only happened in Nisan, or in Nisan and all the way till Tishrei. The rabbis are going to hear that I have such a document. They're going to say, wait a second, that's a predated document. You can't collect now from any lekuchas. So I'm going to lose out, says the Malva. I'm not game for this. You're going to have to write me a new document in Tishrei where you want the loan to happen now, where you're coming with a 6 months old document. That's not going to work for me. So therefore, then we shouldn't have that concern. In other words, ask the Gemara, if you're saying, Rav Kahana, that the understanding of this halacha, the chiddush that you're saying in the Rabbi Yechanan is, that even though he's admitting, but still we're concerned, meaning we would think that we wouldn't return it to the lender. Why would we think we wouldn't return it to the lender? Because the borrower would say that, I want to save money. Maybe really, maybe he paid up already. But he's saying he didn't pay up because he wants to save that money. And that we say that no, because the lender won't go along with it. So it must be that if he's saying he didn't pay up, he really didn't pay up because or else the lender wouldn't do it. But we see we don't say that svara, because if we said that svara, that the lender wouldn't go along with it, then we wouldn't have that halacha in the Mishnah of Yud Beis and Mebeis. We would say that you would do return it, even when there is a chayas nechasim, to the lender, because the whole concern why we don't return it over there is because maybe it was written 6 months earlier, but that's a shtar muktam. Shtar muktam, the lender's going to lose out. If he's going to lose out, he's not going to go ahead with it. So then why are we saying over there that we don't return it to him? We should say we do return it because there's no concern for the shemakaz of Lulvais, because he wouldn't do it because he would lose out, just like he's saying over here. So I think when it says no, they said no. There's a difference between Rabbi Yechanan's halacha and the Mishnah over there. Hasam over there in the Mishnah, the few days, Mishum de Isli Ravcha, there is gain. Why? The Katar of Lekuch is a Menisim Matishrei. He's going to be able to collect unlawfully, but he's going to get a gain for collecting for those 6 months worth of lekuches, which means if, let's say, a lot of people bought from this borrower 6 months before the actual loan, but the document writes as if it happened 6 months before, so meinich nichalei. So he's willing to go along with this scam, and he's willing to take the risk to say, look, maybe the rabbis won't hear, and I'll have all this gain, I'll be able to collect from these lekuches. And therefore he's not going to say anything and protest. When the borrower comes and says, I want to borrow $1,000, and he looks at the date, he sees this is 6 months early, he's not going to say anything. He says, look, I'll be able to collect from the kuchas 6 months early. However, over here in the case of Rabbi Yechanan, even the Leslie Ravcha, but since here the lender has no gain at the end of the day at all, because the Saiv, Shtara Ha'idna Kasev, either way you look at it, the document is going to be written from today's date. So my ikad the katar of lekuches, what is their gain to say that he would gain to collect from lekuches? In other words, why wouldn't he insist on a new document being written for him? Anyways, they're both going to be from the same date, and therefore bishtar shenimcha shibud eloy shavik. He wouldn't allow the usage of a document that the shibud was already forgiven, meaning that was already written and then paid, and to be used again on the same day. Therefore, Rav Kahana's interpretation of Rabbi Yechanan does stand. Because here we're talking about where he admits, then we say we return it to the lender because it's not the borrower. So the only concern would be that maybe it is not a kosher document because he really paid up and he just wants to save the money. That's where he said that no, the lender wouldn't go along with that. Because he said the rabbis are going to hear and they're going to find that even though it's all the same date, but it was a second loan which was really a milvah peh and it wasn't on that, what gain does he have over there? Either way, it's from the same day. But one's a kosher, one's not a kosher one. So the lender's saying, hey, why am I lending you my money when I could lose the opportunity of collecting for all your lekuches? I stand to gain zero. So although the leva could gain by saving a few kopecks of paying for the scribe to write a new document, and he would want that, and they would say, oh, I paid just so that the lender should hold on to the document, the lender's saying, I'm not doing this. Why should I take this risk when I have nothing to gain? In contrast to the Mishnah over there, where he stands to gain 6 months of collections, oh, that's something that he's willing to put on the line, that the rabbis might find out he might lose everything for collections, but he's willing to take that risk. But again, that doesn't contradict Rabbi Yechanan, where here he has nothing to gain, and therefore that was the second interpretation of to explain the seemingly contradiction of the two halachas of Rabbi Yechanan, where that was what Rav Kahana said, that no, there's no contradiction. Yes, we are usually concerned that a person could pay up that same day, and that's why there is need for that other halacha. Just here was talking about where Keshachayev Maidi, where he was admitting, so if he admits, so then, okay, so we don't have the concern that he paid it up, and although there might be a concern that maybe he wants to save money, that's what we explained this concept about the lender wouldn't go along with such a thing, and that's what we're having that concern of maybe it was a second loan on the same document. That's why we consider it as if it's the same first document and we return it to the lender. Now, the Gemara continues with a related discussion, again for a halacha from Rabbi Yechonon, regarding a claim that a person would make that's not believed. Says, Hatoyin achar ma'ase bezdin. If someone states a claim regarding an act of bezdin, in other words, something that is a stipulation of the courts that's mandated for everybody, for example, a ksuba for a woman in a marriage, or the sustenance that a wife or a daughter gets. So if someone comes along and he claims and he says, I paid it up, my dues, I already paid up her ksuba, let's say, but without witnesses. So that continues on. Amid Beis, the Gemara says, Loi Maklum, he hasn't said anything. It's not a valid claim that he's making. My time, what's the reason? Says Rabbi Yechonon, Kol Ma'ase Bezdin, every act of the courts, which is a requirement that a person has, Kamanda Nakat Shtar B'Yodidam, it's like the claimant, meaning the woman for her ksuba, as if she's holding a document in her hand, and therefore a person not believed to say, if the other one's holding a document, to say that they paid it up. Here, until we know otherwise that it was paid up with witnesses, the husband's not going to be believed. Now, on this halacha, Omri Rabbi Chiya bar Abba l'Rabbi Yechonon. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba asked Rabbi Yechonon, but v'loi mishnaseinu hizu, isn't your Amarok statement already said in our Mishnah in Masechtas Gittin? The Mishnah says, Hitziya get ve'inim ha'ksuba. If a woman produces a get, but she doesn't have a ksuba, gaiva ksuba, so she collects her ksuba, even though she doesn't have the document, you see in the Mishnah, it's as if that which you just said was your chiddush, that it's as if she's holding a document. You already see that in the Mishnah Masechta Gittin. So on that, Amalei Rabbi Yechonon said to him, Ilav did loy lach chaspa. Had I not lifted up the shard for you, loy mishkachas marganisa too, so you would not have found the pearl, the diamond, underneath it. In other words, yes, now that you heard Mahalach, you were able to understand and see that and infer that from the Mishnah Masechta Gittin, but had I not told you this, you would not have known it from that Mishnah. Now actually, Abaya asks, says, what do you mean? My Marganisa, what is this pearl that you're saying that now you could see this in the Mishnah Masechtas Gittin? You're right, says Rabbi Yechonon. Now that I told you the halacha, you see it in Tanoic sources, says Abaye to the contrary. Not only do you not see it, it's actually not the case in the Mishnah over there. Dilma b'mokim shein kaisvin ksuba askinon. Maybe the halacha over there in that Mishnah is talking about in a place where they don't write ksubas. Rather, they rely on the stipulation of the courts, and the woman could always collect her kasuba until the husband goes and produces a receipt that he paid it up from her. Where the get in that situation, in those towns where they don't write a kasuba, the actual get, which testifies that she was divorced, hainu ksubasa, that is her kasuba. In other words, it proves that he has to pay her the kasuba. Because here she is, she proves that she's divorced. The only way you could show that you paid it up is if you produce a receipt. But therefore, that's why the Mishnah Masechtas Gittin says by producing a get, she could collect her ksuba. Abba Malkam Shekaisim Ksuba, but asks Abaye in the place where they do read a ksuba, maybe there in the kita ksuba gavi, maybe only when she's actually holding the ksuba, then she collects. Eloi, but if she's not holding the ksuba, loi gavi, she does not collect either because we would be concerned that maybe because she's going to collect another time with the ksuba in another place. Or because he could say, and he'll be believed to say that he paid. So therefore says Abaye, what to the contrary, meaning the question that was asked to Rabbi Yechonon was, what do we need your teaching? It's so obvious it's a Masechtas Gittin, which Rabbi Yechonon says, yes, you're right, my teaching is there, but you wouldn't have known it and seen it had I not opened up your eyes, and I showed you the pearl underneath. Abaye goes the other way, says, what do you mean? Actually, Rabbi Yechonon's halach is not said over in that Mishnah, because the Mishnah there maybe is talking about a place where they don't write a ksuba, So then, if she just produces a get, of course she could collect. But Rabbi Yechonon's halacha was saying in general, a woman that, let's say, is collecting ksuba, whether the ksuba was written or not written, she could collect until the husband brings proof with witnesses that he paid or with a receipt. But here, so that the Gemara was assuming as a given that that's said in the Mishnah Masechtas Gittin, and that says the Gemara, no, says Abaye, to the contrary. Maybe the Mishnah Masechtas Gittin would hold that if it's a place where they write a ksuba, then actually she would not be able to collect, and we would believe that it was paid. There it's only because it's a place where they don't write a ksuba, and that's why that she could collect with just producing the get. Now, Hadar Mavaya, Abaye later retracted from his rejection of the proof, and he says, Lav Milsahid Amri. It's not true, there's no substance to what I said before, that to reject the proof of the Mishnah Masechtas Gittin and to explain that it's only talking about a place where they don't write a ksuba, but that in a place where they do write a document of ksuba, that I was claiming that he would be believed to say that he paid, that's not true. Because the Isak Gedaita, because if you'd entertain to say, B'makom she'in kaisin ksuba askin, and that the Mishnah there is only talking about a place where they don't write a ksuba. Al b'makom she'kaisin ksuba, but if it would be a place where they write a ksuba. E naktina, e nikita ksuba gavi. If she's holding the ksuba, then she collects. E loy, loy gavi. If she's not holding it, she doesn't collect. Again, because he could say and be believed that he paid it up. But that says Abaye, that can't be, because amonim in the erisin, then what do you do with a woman that was widowed from erisin, where she was only engaged, she never had nisuin, never got married? Where there, even in a place where they usually write a shtar of a ksuba, they don't write for a woman that was just engaged, that didn't get married. Now here she is, she's owed a ksuba, because she was engaged, the halacha of ksuba is already required from engagement, but it's just not written ever until nisuin, and now her chasen dies, who now she's a widow from Erison. Says Abaya, then based on what I was originally saying, B'mai Gavya, with what will she be able to collect her ksuba? Obviously you have to say, the only way she'd be able to collect, she can't produce a ksuba because they don't write a ksuba, is B'edi Mrs. Baal, is her witnesses who testify that her husband died. Similar to the phenomenon of that Mishnah Masechtas Gittin when you produce the get, just to show that you're not married anymore. Now the problem is, let the Yerushim come along and claim, B'leim Parate, and say that it was paid up already. Now, v'chite mehochanam, and if you're going to say that, yeah, actually that's the case, that as I was originally claiming, that when the only time is that the husband's not believed, as the Mishnah says himself, is getting, and she could collect just with a get, is only place where they don't write, but in a place that they do write, then he is believed to say that it's paid up. So here, where it's a place where they usually write, but she's only a widow from Erison, where in her specific case they don't write, because she didn't have Nisuin yet, so then you're saying that, I mean, I was originally saying, says Abaye, that then they could make the claim that it was paid up. And if you say that is such a that there is such a substance to that theory, then what exactly did the Chacham gain with their takana that they were misakan the ksuba for an arusa, for a woman that's engaged, but everyone's going to claim, paranu, we paid up already. What do you gain? Because you're saying in a place where they usually write, then you could make such a claim. And therefore, says Abaye, it can't be this that I had said. Because my whole way of rejecting the Raya was saying it's talking about a place where they don't write a ksuba. But if they do write a ksuba, then they would be believed, not like Rabbi Yechanan, to say that we paid up. But then what would I do in the case of Amana from Erison, where they never write, even in a place where they usually do write, and then they would still be believed to say that they paid, and then everyone would say that regarding the Arusa, and then therefore there would be no reason why the Chamor Misakin a ksuba for an Arusa. And obviously, since they were Misakin, obviously Rabbi Yechanan is correct, and a husband is never believed to say, or any person in regards to a Maisa Bezin, believed to say that they paid it up already. Now, however, the Gemara asks a question on Abaya. Amalei mar kshisha bereidra of chizal ravashi. Va'amonime and the erisin, the islik suba minolam. The whole premise of Abaya, rejecting his rejection. He said that, what do you mean? What's the marganisa? What's the proof to Rabbi Yechim and the Mishnah? To the contrary, it's actually not a proof. And that says Abaya said that it must be a proof because of the case amonime and the erisin. And that asked the Gemara, what about amonime and the erisin? He was saying that there's a ksuba, and there everyone's going to say that it was paid up already. On that as the Gemara, but v'aman and erisin de isla ksuba nalna. Whoever told you that a widow that's engaged actually gets a ksuba? As the Gemara says, ile mahad itznan, if you would think that from this that we learn the Mishnah Masechtas Ksubas, the Mishnah says, nisar malo einas garsha, if a woman gets widowed or divorced, beim and erisin, beim and erisin, whether from engagement or from marriage, goy v'sakel, she collects everything, meaning, what does it mean everything? Both the ksuba part, which is mandated by the courts, which is 100 zuz a mana for a widow and 200 for a basula, or even the tesefis, which is the added-on part that the chasm willingly adds on to the ksuba. Now, says the Gemara, you would think that that's a proof, because you see, a widow from Erison is getting a ksuba. That says, Markashisha Berid of Chizda, but Dilmehecha de Kasavla. Maybe that Mishnah is only talking about where he went and he wrote it for her. In other words, who said, like Abai is taken for granted that the Chacham or Mesaka and the Ksuba for Narusa, and therefore that refutes his refutation? What do you mean? Maybe there is no Ksuba for Narusa. Now, although you see a Mishnah Mesaka Ksubis that talks about a Ksuba for a widow from Erison, maybe that's when on his own he went and wrote one. So then she collects. But who said that the Chacham mandated to prove that it must be that a Ksuba could be collected even with the husband saying that it was paid up? Now, B'chitam, if you're going to say, Mila Memra, then wait a second. If my question on Abaye is correct, and that there's no proof in the Mishnah Masechtas Ksubas that a widow from Erison gets a ksuba, it's only when he went out of his way and he wrote it for her, So then, of course, then what would be the chiddush in saying that she collects? Of course, he wrote and he was meshabed himself with that. And that says the Gemara, no, lafukum and rebelozim and azariah. That's not a difficulty, because the Tana of that Mishnah was coming to exclude from another Tanoic opinion of rebelozim and azariah. The Amma that he says, shalei kosav lo, that he did not write for his kala, the additional part that he was promising her in case of divorce or widowhood, ela amanas lekoinsa, only on the condition that they initially go ahead and consummate their relationship by getting married. So istuchalei, that's why it was necessary to say that halacha, that even when he went out of his way and wrote it, that still she's going to collect everything, not like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said that you don't collect the teisefes because they never got married, they only got engaged. But again, there's no proof to Abaye's premise, which was the point of rejecting his refutation, which was that Amonim and Erisin get tzuksuba. Who said that Chamur Masakin, that maybe it's only when someone goes ahead on his own and writes one up? And actually says the Gemara, Dekinami. Actually, a precise reading of that Mishnah seems to indicate that it's only talking about when he wrote it, and not when an automatic tzuksuba, which would seem to indicate, like Abaye was saying, that it's that the Chachamur Masakin tzuksuba. Why? Because the Ketani, we learned it within the Mishnah, says, Goyves HaKol, she collects everything. So says the Gemara, Iyamad Bishleim of the Kasab Law, if you would entertain to say that he wrote it for her, meaning he went and wrote it, not an automatic Takan Zachamim, which of course he could write even for the woman that he's engaged to. Sahainu the Ketani, Goyves HaKol, that would make sense why it says the words that she collects everything, because everything would connote not just the standard Ksuba, but also the additional part that he wrote that he added on. But if he would say that he didn't write it for her, rather it's like Abaye, that would be a proof that you see automatically that there is a ksuba for Monam and Erisin. But then as we continue on top of Yitchesim and Aleph, my goiva esakol, what would it mean that she collects everything? In other words, since he didn't stipulate anything, because he's not writing for her, just an automatic takans chamim, so what additional part would there be? She's only getting the 100 for the widow, or the 200 if she's a basula, and therefore from the fact that it says goyves hakol would seem to indicate that there's not just the standard, that there's something else to say she gets everything, which again is being said as an exclusionary of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who said she doesn't get everything, but again that would indicate that it was he who wrote it, but not an automatic takan zacham. So the Gemara still remains with a question, continuing on to the next daf, what is the source for Abaye's premise that Amana from Erisin actually gets Iksuba, meaning that the Chamur Mesakin that, yes, she gets it if he wrote it, but where do you get that Chamur Mesakin, which was the whole reason why he retracted his rejection of the proof from the Mishnah Masechtas Gittin to Bilek Rabbi Yechanan, because he said that in such a case, if it's like I wanted to say, that when the place where they do write Iksuba, that then he is believed to say that he paid it up, it's only when they don't write that then he's not believed like that Mishnah Masechtas Gittin. But when they do write, he would be. Then what would you do with Amonim and the Erisin? Why would the Chum be Mesakin if everyone could just say, oh, we paid it up because it's a place where they write, but they never write for a woman that's only engaged? That was Abaye's premise. On that, the Gemara still has a question. Where does he get that from? That we know that the Chum or Mesakin automatically, Takan Zbezin, that there is a Ksuba for an Arusa to go into the question about rejecting his proof against Rabbi Yechanan, and how that wouldn't be a proof in the Mishnah Masechtas Gittin to his halacha, which again he said, what was the necessity of saying his halacha, which he said, because not for me, you would never have seen that chiddush in that Mishnah Masechtas Gittin had I not revealed to you this concept that by Maisa Bezdin, the person, the defendant, is not believed to say that I paid it up, because it's like the other one is holding a document, even though they're not literally holding a document, in their hand.